Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. Immigration advocates and religious leaders, outraged by the busing from Texas to New York City of migrants detained at the Mexico border, say they are gearing up to help any who arrive on Long Island. Bart Jones reports on Newsday.com that Texas Governor Greg Abbott has bused thousands of the migrants up north in the past few weeks, arguing that they are overwhelming communities in his state of Texas. Advocates call it an election year ploy to stir up anti-immigrant sentiment, and they are especially incensed Abbott's government is putting barcode bracelets on the migrants. I think it is an abuse of humanity, said the Reverend Dwight Lee Walter of the Congressional Church of Patchogue. It's an abuse of human dignity, treating people like pawns in your political games. Immigrant assistance groups on Long Island say they have not yet been in contact with any of the migrants, but it is only a matter of time before some land in Nassau and Suffolk counties and seek their help. The region for decades has served as a major arrival point for Latino immigrants, especially from Central America. New York has been a major recipient of people coming from the border essentially throughout the state's history, said Patrick Young, the downstate advocacy director for the New York Immigration Coalition. And Long Island has certainly seen people coming in who were fleeing persecution in their home countries from Latin America since the 1980s, said Young, who is based in Hempstead, Long Island. We would expect that some of the bus migrants already have arrived on Long Island. Advocates say the migrants are fleeing violence, poverty, and sometimes political persecution in their homelands, that America's tradition is to welcome newcomers. Thousands of mauve stinger jellyfish, which inflict a painful sting and are more likely to be seen off the coast of a Mediterranean beach town than the waters near Fire Island, were spotted off Long Island this weekend. Vera Chinese reports on Newsday.com that about 200 beachgoers at Robert Moses State Park and 30 at Jones Beach State Park visited first aid stations to treat stings from the purplish invertebrate on Sunday, said George Gorman, Long Island Regional Director for State Parks. We literally had thousands along the shoreline here at Robert Moses State Park, Gorman said during an interview yesterday on the beach. They were right here, so the people were interacting with them, and they got stung. It seems the mauve stingers, which are also bioluminescent and are sometimes called purple-striped jellies, left as quickly as they came. They appeared to move farther out to sea the next day, and comparatively, no one had sought help for a sting by early afternoon on Labor Day Monday. Gorman speculated that many more people were stung this weekend but did not seek help. If it was a mild sting, they wouldn't have come to the first aid station, he said. Mauve, as well as more common lion's mane jelly, were also spotted off Fire Island this weekend. A booster shot targeting the most contagious Omicron subvariants should be available on Long Island this week, the first step in a nationwide immunization campaign to ward off a potential surge of COVID-19 cases this fall and winter, state officials said. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Thursday approved the use of two bivalent booster shots that combine the original vaccine recipe with a new formula to provide enhanced protection against the BA4 and BA5 subvariants. Individuals can use vaccines.gov to find nearby locations where the vaccinations will be provided. Ditch Plains Beach is the heart of the surf scene in Montauk, a two-mile stretch of dunes and sea at the tip of Long Island's East End, with views of sand cliffs to the east and west. Stephen Karutz of the New York Times reports that it is also where, on summer weekends, a group of longtime Montauk residents and vacationers gather to drink, smoke pot, toss frisbees, and dance till dark, as if staging their own mini Burning Man festival. The patch of beach where they congregate has a nickname among locals, Clown Town. With its surfers and revelers, the scene recalls Montauk as it was more than two decades ago, before private equity executives, social media stars, and other moneyed newcomers put their stamp on this formerly rustic beach town of dive bars and tackle shops. Those who settled in the area before real estate prices shot skyward now lament the passing of the scruffy outposts they used to know. This summer, the major topic of conversation among many longtime Montauk residents and vacationers has not been the waves, the weather, or the problem of coastal erosion. Rather, they've been talking about the big house rising above Ditch Plains Beach. They wonder aloud about how big it will be once it's completed. They speculate about who will live there. The mansion looms over the public parking lot where the Ditch Witch food truck has served egg wraps and burritos since 1994. It looms over the surfers who ride the clean, consistent waves that break past the jetty. And it looms over Clowntown. It dominates the view from everywhere, said John Madeer, 67, a photographer and documentary filmmaker who's been surfing at Ditch Plains Beach for 15 years, and it's changing the character of that section of Montauk. Regarding the race for governor in New York State, a battle for the airwaves is expected to intensify now between Republican nominee Congressman Lee Zeldin of Shirley, Long Island, and Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul ahead of the November 8th election. There's a whole lot of Democrats that want to declare this race dead and over with, but they ain't seen nothing yet, Republican State Chair Nick Langworthy boasted on Sunday. But it is the Democratic incumbent and her allies who are taking the first shots, the Post has learned. A union-backing Governor Hochul is touting her record in office in a new 32nd spot, landing upstate and on Long Island today. Zach Williams reports in the New York Post that the $300,000 ad blitz is part of a $1 million effort by a PAC backed by the North Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters to Democrats this November. History tells us the ad war is going to enter its hot phase this month, political consultant Jake Dilamani told the Post Monday. Depending where you are in the state, you're about to be inundated. The incumbent Democrats' campaign also threw down $2 million last week to launch a post-Labor Day-era offensive that will begin reaching English- and Spanish-speaking voters from Erie County to Montauk. The developers of South Fork Wind will hold a virtual open house on September 12th, that's next Monday, to walk East Hampton residents through the final and most technical phase of the installation of the onshore sections of the wind farm's power cable, work that will start this fall and run through the winter. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that those who wish to participate in the live event, which will start at 6 p.m. next Monday, can register at SouthForkWindVirtual.com. That's SouthForkWindVirtual.com. Last spring, crews working for the project's developers, Orsted and Eversource, installed the cable conduits beneath the 2 miles of town roadways between the Beach Lane lot of Long Island Railroad Tracks and Waitsco. The whole thing's supposed to be finished by the end of 2023. This month, Riverhead officials plan to present to the public proposed regulations outlining marijuana sales and consumption within the town of Riverhead in accordance with the state law that legalized cannabis use last year. Jean-Paul Salamanca reports on Newsday.com that the regulations, which were discussed at the Riverhead Town Board's September 1st work session at Town Hall, include rules on how cannabis sellers can operate. Riverhead Town Supervisor Yvette Aguiar told Newsday on Friday that the legislation was necessary in part because the town has seen little guidance from New York State on how to proceed with the Marijuana Regulation and Taxation Act, passed in March 2021, that allows for cannabis sales and use. In particular, she said, there has been little direction in outlining how, when, and where cannabis sales and use can take place. Under the proposed regulations, cannabis retail and on-site consumption establishments would be permitted in only certain sections of town. Those locations include Riverhead's Business Center, shopping centers, destination retail centers, rural corridors, the Village Center, downtown centers, the Peconic River community, and other business districts. This local legislation also states that retail or on-site consumption establishments cannot be located within 1,000 feet from the property lines of any school, library, or daycare facility. Such consumption sites also cannot be located within 500 feet of any town beach, playground, or community center and children's amusement center. The legislation is expected to be posted for discussion at a public hearing later this month, according to Supervisor Aguiar. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.